Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
As you're no doubt aware, there has been a spate of price cuts from energy companies recently, and my next guest believes bills could fall by up to 15% this year. This comes as Wind Energy Ireland, the representative body for the Irish wind industry, says that a record 35% of Ireland's electricity last year came from wind energy. Dr. Paul Dean is Senior Lecturer in Energy at UCC. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Claire.
Good to talk to you. Now, let's start with the cost of energy for consumers, because we were talking yesterday on the programme about Electric Ireland's decision to drop their prices. You think prices are going to come down even more this year, do you?
Yes, Claire. Look, and it's been such a difficult couple of years for all of us in terms of what we are paying for electricity. I suppose just for some context, Claire, just before Christmas, we were all paying about 2,000 euros a year for our annual electricity bill. That's actually, I suppose, double about what we were paying for back in 2021 before the Ukrainian crisis. So we've all seen a really massive increase in electricity bills. And look, the good news yesterday from Electric Ireland and from other utilities such as SSE is that they expect your average annual electricity bill to drop from about that 2,000 euros a year down to about 1,700 to 1,800 euros a year. Now, that's good news. Now, my view is that as we come into the summer and as we push through the summer months, and if things go right for us in terms of the weather and the war in Ukraine, I would expect to see further reductions. And what that would mean for us, Claire, in terms of an annual average electricity bill, that I would expect it to hover somewhere around 1,500 euros a year as we get towards the end of 2024. Look, that's a nice reduction on what we were paying before Christmas, but still about 500 euros more than what we were paying about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And we must never lose sight of that we're probably, are you saying, never going back to that level that we had a couple of years ago?
No, unfortunately, you know, and there's two reasons for that, Claire. We're not going back to those days that we had 3 or 4 years ago. Ireland is massively reliant on natural gas for generating most of our electricity. So really, when we're thinking about the future of electricity, we think about the future of gas. And because Ireland, we purchase most of our natural gas on the European super marketplace, what happens in Europe really matters. Now, This year we were lucky. It was really mild. That means across Europe that we weren't using a lot of natural gas for heating. There was a lot of wind generation. It was very wet. We had a lot of the French nuclear units coming back online, generating more electricity. So other things were generating electricity and we were using less gas. That puts downward pressure on the price of gas. Now, even though Ireland was never actually physically connected by pipeline to places like Russia, we're very much connected to the European marketplace. So when Europe is using less gas, price comes down. And because we generate so much of our electricity, unfortunately, in Ireland from gas, that means prices come down for us. Now, the outlook for the next 6 months is relatively calm. There's a lot of stability in the market, a certain level of fragility. But what's fundamentally changed from 3 years ago, Claire, is how gas comes into Europe now. 3 years ago, most of the gas was coming into Europe via pipelines from Russia. That was cheap, was affordable. And look, we all benefited from it. That's all stopped. And most of that gas now has been replaced by ships coming from places like Qatar, ships coming from the USA, bringing gas into Europe. Ships have been reliable so far, but they cost more to bring gas into Europe for transporting it. And unfortunately, that price premium is always going to remain, which means there's a kind of a natural floor level for us in Ireland of somewhere between 1,400 a year for our annual electricity bills. It's going to be very difficult to go below that for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so you've explained very well why those prices are going to remain somewhat high. But then we see, as I said there, Wind Energy Ireland telling us that a record 35% of our electricity came from wind energy, and we're all listening to that going, great, because the wind is free.
The fuel is free, but the wind turbines aren't. And look, I suppose that news from the Wind Energy Association has consequences for people and has consequences for the planet. I suppose, look, from the planet, first of all, if we're generating a third of our electricity from wind, that's good because it's clean. That means we're not using polluting fuels such as natural gas and coal, and that's relatively good. Now, it's good for people as well, but not overwhelmingly so. Remember, it's only about a third of our electricity is coming from renewables. That means 2/3 is still coming from fossil fuels, primarily natural gas. But what that 1/3 of electricity means for us as electricity consumers, Claire, is that we're spending about €1 billion less now on natural gas because every one unit of electricity that comes from wind means there's a unit or so less that doesn't have to come from natural gas. Now, what does that mean for us in terms of our bills? The Wind Energy Ireland report doesn't really go into detail, but we can estimate from the figures that they have that probably means that wind reduced our bills by somewhere in the region of 180 to 200 euros a year last year for the year 2023. Mm-hmm. Now, that's about 1/3 of our electricity coming from wind. We really need to be doing a lot better. If we were able to generate 2/3 of our electricity, for example, from things like wind, then that would have a meaningful impact on our electricity prices. It doesn't mean that electricity is going to be free or cheap. Those days are gone. You know, cheap anything tends to come at a high environmental cost. But what it does mean is it'll be more affordable.
Yeah, and more stable as well, because the price of wind generated energy isn't as volatile as that generated from gas.
Exactly. Look, and this is the one thing that wind has that natural gas doesn't. The price of natural gas, for example, in 2022 skyrocketed by almost a factor of 30 in some days. That translated into electricity by electricity prices going up on some months by a factor of 10. Wind will remain stable. You know, it's not volatile. And really, for a lot of businesses and for a lot of supply companies, that comes with a lot of value because they can think ahead about what the price will be. One of the challenges that we're seeing with natural gas at the moment is that we're pricing that fragility in the market, that uncertainty in the market, we're pricing that into consumer bills, and that's costing us all and we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm. But what about the volatility around wind when it doesn't blow? That's an issue. I know it certainly was in 2022.
Yes, and look, actually, it was a big issue last night and yesterday evening. EirGrid, who operate the power system in Ireland, issued an amber alert. Now, an amber alert is just a kind of a flag-raising exercise that basically tells suppliers that, look, actually, the gap, the buffer between how much electricity we need and how much electricity we can supply is going to be very thin. So we are going to need things like fossil fuel and natural gas to generate when the wind isn't there. So we are going to need those stations. We are going to need those power plants into the future, but they will be used less. Now, mm-hmm. What this means for us as consumers is that we still have to pay for them, unfortunately. So there is going to be a price element always of fossil fuel priced into our bills for the next 10 years or so until we can fully move away from things like natural gas.
So what is happening then with the building and planning of wind farms?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, we're very slow. Look, we have a lot of ambition in Ireland. We have a lot of opportunities, but we don't have agility. You know, last year in 2023, as we came out of the energy crisis, there was a 12-month period where we didn't give planning permission for any onshore wind farms. Now, onshore wind farms are Ireland's cheapest source of electricity generation. They displace natural gas and they put pressure, downward pressure on those prices. But we weren't able to permit or license any new plants. And we have a challenge. Look, there's lots of challenges within the system, but our primary concern is, I suppose, a lack of agility within our planning system. Everything just takes too long. Last year, we installed about 400 megawatts of wind farms. That's very little. That's about half of what we need to be doing if we're serious about moving away from fossil fuels. So we need to get quicker at planning. It doesn't mean that we railroad decisions through. We do need to give
due
consideration.
That's the fear, isn't it? That if you try to make that system more agile, that the people who don't want wind farms or who are very concerned about the impact of them will feel that they're being shortchanged.
Exactly. And look, and it's a justifiable fear because we do have some very bad examples of a small number of wind farms going up in very poor places and damaging the environment in Ireland. Now, thankfully, the majority of them are well planned and well operated. But really what we need to do is resource the planning system in Ireland with more people. So, for example, 10 years ago, if you wanted to build one natural gas-fired power station, you sent in one planning application. And that was kind of done maybe, you know, once every 3 or 4 years. To generate the same amount of electricity now from wind or solar, solar, you're probably going to need maybe 14 or 15 planning applications for different numbers of wind farms, different numbers of solar farms around the way, around the country. They all need to be assessed. Some of these applications, Claire, and I have huge sympathy for people working in the planning departments, some of these applications will be 1,000 pages plus that they have to read through, dense, tricky material. So the problem can be solved. And look, I appreciate it. It's easy for an academic to point at all the problems. The solutions will take time and take money. We need time to hire more people within the planning system and money to pay them, and then time to upskill them in terms of improving that climate and that energy awareness.
Paul, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much, Dr. Paul Dean there from UCC.